You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits or join the Facebook discussion groups www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter at Fantasy Benefits for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh man, I've been hard since you said hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I'm good, by the way.
Oh, you're going. I was waiting for you.
No, it is my bad. I forgot. I was like, I forget if I said it.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
It will definitely be a lot of hitters that we like to talk about, and then like 3 minutes of pitching.
Well, I think there may be a little bit more pitching than we're used to talking about with Colorado.
There's definitely more.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
You know, let's move on real quick, though. Let's talk about...
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to take us totally off track with that. So, as of right now, they've been trying to move Blackman all winter, and they really haven't got a lot of traction.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Join me on this episode is Ben Brennis. Ben, how you doing?
I'm good, Justin. How are you today?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. I'm excited to talk about the Rockies because I think they've got a really interesting team. So, you know, I think they've got a number of great kind of fantasy assets and as well as just an extremely stacked lineup. So I think it'll be a really interesting conversation.
Yeah, it will definitely be a lot of hitters that we like to talk about and then like 3 minutes of pitching.
Well, I think there may be a little bit more pitching than we're used to talking about with Colorado.
There's
definitely more.
It's just, you know, it's still the Rockies.
Yeah, it is definitely still the Rockies. But let's jump in. Let's talk about the offense. We'll start with the infield, talking about the catching situation is something that's probably the most up in the air outside of maybe just overall lineup construction in Colorado. They have Tony Walters and Tom Murphy. A lot of people really like Tom Murphy, but it looks like a platoon, which would put Tom Murphy on the weak side of that. What are your thoughts about these two catchers?
Personally, I just want to see Tom Murphy play all the time. I don't want to see him platooned. I just think that he's got a ton of power upside. I think he's a good batting average guy. And considering that he's going to be at the bottom of the lineup anyway, I don't see a reason to platoon him. Just kind of throw him in there. You already know that Tony Walters isn't providing you a ton. He had over 200 at-bats last year, and he didn't really do a lot with it. I don't really see a reason that you would want to keep playing him. You know, he was a 259 average, which that was generous, to say the least, considering I think that he is more of like a 240 hitter. And I think that Murphy's got a lot more upside. There's no reason to not play him, especially with how stacked the lineup is. It's not like you're losing a lot by giving him more playing time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I was talking with Matt Thompson when we were doing the prospect show, or the prospect minute. With him on the Colorado Rockies, and he and I kind of both said that we think that this may start off as a platoon kind of into the early in the season, and maybe Tom Murphy kind of gets the short end of the stick on the platoon, being the right-handed hitter. But I think by mid-season, we're looking at Tom Murphy as the guy in Colorado, buying the plate for the most part. I believe he's got the higher upside than Walters. But, I mean, early on in the season, you know, you may want to use a guy like Walters, especially in DFS, in shallower leagues, because he is going to be more than likely catching the majority of the games early on in the season. So, you know, if you're planning a little bit more longer into the season, Tom Murphy's the guy. If you're planning a little bit more you know, beginning of the season, you're willing to kind of make moves throughout the year at the position, then Walters would be the guy in Colorado. Personally, for me, I don't really want to have anything to do with either of these guys because I think of there could be a platoon throughout the entire season. Catching, you know, while it isn't deep, you can get usable guys later in one catcher leagues. In two catcher leagues, obviously you can't afford to wait. But I mean, if you're in a 12-team one catcher league, you can pretty much wait to the end of your draft to grab a catcher because you still have guys like Wieters and Wellington Castillo and Yadier Molina at the end of your draft. That'll be there. So no sense in you know going with a guy who isn't the guy.
Yeah, I mean I'm not like jumping all over the catcher position. I personally like Murphy a lot more just because I think that he's got a lot more upside. But it's not like I'm looking to jump all over him. I mean, currently I have Walters ranked 33rd over all my catchers. I have Tom Murphy ranked 17th, and that's just because I think that Tom Murphy plays the entire season as a starter. If he's a platoon, he drops down to like 27 or something. So it's not like I'm high on either one of them. I'm just higher on Murphy for the fact that it's Colorado, and I think he's got a lot of upside. So,
all right. Let's talk about first base. And right now, they have Ian Desmond slated in to play first base, their big offseason acquisition so far. What are your thoughts on Desmond in Colorado, and do you think he actually sticks at first base?
I don't think he sticks at first. I think there's a better likelihood of Cargo playing first than actually having Desmond play there, just because of the injury history. And he always seems to like it seems like a hamstring injury every year, so like he'll have a lot less playing first. But I like Desmond a lot. I think that Desmond's still going to be able to have a good season like last year. And basically, the thing that being in Colorado helps a lot is not just the home run power. It's basically the BABIP in general. And that will help his average, and that will help him get on base. The only thing that may get hurt by him is, in fact, his steals, only for the fact that we don't know where he's going to be in the lineup. He could easily be, like, batting sixth or something, and they end up not being able to run him a lot. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but I think overall he's still going to be a good value for you. Some people have talked about him as a top 20 option. Overall, I don't have him that high, but I do think that he's going to be able to provide a good amount of value for you.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a really polarizing guy in drafts. I think he's a guy that you could see some people taking him in the top 20. Currently on NFBC, they have him going outside the top or just 20th in the outfield, so 77th overall. So, I mean, I think if he's going there, I'm totally down to take him there. But, you know, if he starts inching closer to like a second round pick, then I start having some problems in being willing to take the shot. You know, you got to love him in Colorado. I think they move another outfielder. So I think they move Cargo. I think they move Blackman for pitching or Geraldo Parra for pitching. Someone they're going to move someone and get Blackman in the outfield because I don't think they're done shopping. I think this is a team that could end up with Mark Trumbo or Chris Carter. And so I don't imagine that he's the opening first baseman. But at the moment, that's where they have him penciled in.
The problem is even if they move Parra, they still don't get an opening, only for the fact that Dahl, Blackman, and Cargo are playing the outfield. So it's not like you have to move Cargo or Blackman to be able to do it. And as of right now, they've been trying to move Blackman all winter, and they really haven't got a lot of traction. They've stated that they want to keep Cargo there, which I understand, mainly for the fact that he's younger and he does have more power upside. And they have other options that could lead off, like LeMayu or Dahl. So Blackman seems like the more obvious choice. It's just, how many teams really need a center fielder that is willing to trade a pitcher for him? There's not a lot of teams. The team that needs a center fielder the most I can think of off the top of my head is either the Cubs or the Mets, and I don't see either one of them trading one of their pitchers for him. Only for the fact that those teams have some of the strongest rotations in the National League, so it doesn't make sense to break them up just slightly when they don't have great number five options.
You know, I mean, I could see the Indians doing it. I could see Tampa Bay doing it. It kind of just depends on, you know, what injuries happen, what teams, you know, are looking for, you know, a top of the order bat. I wouldn't be surprised to see Cargo go. I mean, you know, I know you said they'd probably prefer to keep him, but sometimes you go with what the market gives you. So, but for me, I think one of these two guys is moved at some point, either before the start of the season or early into the season. So that, to me, is a reason why I think Desmond ends up back in the outfield. I can't imagine they play him at first.
Do you think there's any chance to play Cargo at first?
No.
Okay.
His arm's too good to be wasted at first base.
That's the thing. I kept seeing reports that they were hearing reports that they could consider playing him at first. I'm like, but he has such a good arm, it doesn't make a lot of sense to waste it. But at the same time, it doesn't make sense to waste Desmond's natural ability to actually play all these positions for the fact that he is such a good athlete. It's almost like, you know, you do have to trade him to actually be able to utilize value. Otherwise, it's just like playing a video game, basically, where you just, like, grab all the best players and just throw them in on your lineup wherever you want.
Well, and I mean, maybe what they do is they make Desmond a Swiss Army knife. You sign Chris Carter, and then, you know, you trade Parra, and Desmond becomes the kind of utility backup outfielder, and then platoons with Chris Carter at first base. Maybe he plays half his games at first base and then the half in the outfield, giving guys days off, giving guys, breathers, and things like that. So, I mean, you know, maybe even, you know, plays a little bit more shortstop, you know.
Other thing. Maybe they're a little bit worried about how Trevor Story is going to come back, and they're getting an insurance policy for themselves. That could be the other option. So
I wouldn't be surprised if you're playing in one of those leagues that has one game in season eligibility, that Desmond plays like three or four different positions for your fantasy team. And I love leagues like that, especially in NL only.
Yeah, so do I.
Let's go ahead and talk about the rest of the infield real quick. We mentioned DJ LeMahieu. Is he a guy that you are drafting this year, though?
I wouldn't say that I'm not drafting him. It's just it's tough to necessarily see where you're getting a lot of value until we see how this roster is finally constructed at the end of the spring training, basically. Mainly for the fact that, as we had talked about prior to the show, he could bat second. He could bat at the bottom of the lineup. We really don't know. And if he hits at the bottom of the lineup, it kills the value that he was having. He can still hit for a high average down there. But those runs, they're not going to be at over 100 if he hits at the bottom of the order. Those RBIs could be even less than the 66 that he had. The stolen bases, you know, he had 11 last year. It's not like I expect that to increase by a ton. I do expect that they'll run a little bit more with their new manager out in Colorado. But I don't really know if he's going to be getting a lot more run than anyone else. So it just depends on how the season looks like it's going to turn up in terms of the lineup and who gets moved around. I would like to grab him just as a backup. I can't get him as one of my starters.
Yeah, and I don't think you're going to have the opportunity to get him as backup. I mean, he's going 10th off the board, 84th overall on NFBC drafts, which to me is insanely high. I mean, I know he. Had like a 340 average last year, but there's no way 348 he hit last year. There's no way that is sustainable coming into this season. It's just not going to happen. You know, more than likely he'll hit, you know, around 300, a little bit less, a little bit more. But then it's pretty much, you know, with the speed kind of going back to just, you know, 10, 11 stolen bases, it's for the most part, it's not that enticing. You know, especially considering we talked about in the Cubs preview podcast how deep second base is. So I just can't imagine taking him as a top 10 second baseman, and that's where he's going, ahead of Jason Kipnis and Dustin Pedroia, Ben Zobrist, Jonathan Schoop. I mean, we talked about yesterday with Zobrist how deep it was and why it wasn't worth it to take a guy like Ben Zobrist in, for your team when you can wait 100 picks and get a Starlin Castro. And I I feel the same way about DJ LeMahieu. Is I'd rather wait 200 picks and get a, I don't know, a Josh Harrison or a Brandon Phillips or a Logan Forsyth. It just doesn't make sense to me to be spending that high of a pick on DJ LeMahieu, considering he doesn't really offer much power or much speed.
Yeah, it's basically the fact that he put up 11 home runs in, let's say, 250 home at-bats doesn't make me expect that number is really going to go up. So
no, it makes me think it's going to regress back down to where it was the last 2 years,
exactly.
5 or 6 home runs.
Exactly. So, like, he's losing value there. He's potentially losing run value by getting bumped to the bottom of the lineup, potentially. And he's clearly going to lose average/on-base percentage, just as a virtue of not being able to have that sustainable 350 average, basically. So it's like you're buying him, expecting him to put the same season as last year, and that's just not going to happen. It's going to be worse. So he's maybe going to give you like 16th overall value at second base, and you're drafting him as a top 10 option, and it makes no sense.
Yeah. Let's move over to shortstop, talk about Trevor Story. You know, had a remarkable breakout season last year that was cut short because of an injury. Where are you taking him in terms of other shortstops this year?
Personally, I still think that he has the ability to be a top 10 option just because he does have some good amount of power. I do think that he has the ability to get some stolen bases here or there. I don't really know about the average, but basically playing in Coors Field gives you a higher BABIP than another place. So as a result, the average is going to be higher there just because of that virtue. So I do think that he has a lot of value this year. It could take a couple steps back, but I still think that considering what you do have at shortstop, he's going to give you a lot of power. So that could be helpful. It just depends if you're able to eat that batting average that could potentially tank.
Yeah, I agree with you. I have him as my number 6 shortstop coming off the board, which, funny enough, all three of the other rankers that have ranked, you know, so far, you know, I expect you and Mike both to have your ranks done before this podcast is released. But currently I'm just seeing 4 guys on the list. We all have him ranked number 6. We have different guys in front of him, different guys behind him, but we all have him ranked at number 6. I think that's a pretty fair spot. Currently on NFBC drafts, he's going as the number 6 shortstop, 32nd overall off the board. I think to me that's a little high, the overall. You know, I still have him as my number 6 shortstop, but overall I think that'd be really hard for me in a 15-team league to be taking you know, beginning of the third round.
I can tell you right now, just by looking at it, that I have him, just because I haven't put all my ranks in, but I do have some written down. I have him around 8th or 9th, basically.
So okay, you're a bit lower.
I'm a bit lower than you guys, only for the fact that I expect Aledmys Diaz, Segura, and VR to produce good value again. And just because we don't know where Story's going to end up in that lineup. If I know that he's going to be like a top 5 option in that lineup, I can boost him a little higher, but if I have him down 6th, 7th, or even 8th, which I don't see why they would bat him 8th, but 6th or 7th, you know, it kind of hurts his value just slightly, so it takes those counting stats away, and that's kind of why you're drafting him in that top 10.
Yeah, understandable. Nolan Arenado's obviously a top, you know, top 10 guy. Any concerns about taking him in the top 5 to 7?
No. I actually thing that's really good value if you can get him at 7. He's probably like a top 5 option for me, and I don't really see why you wouldn't take him that high. I wouldn't take everyone. There's people who like to take a pitcher that high so that they'd go Kershaw, but I couldn't do it, even though I love pitching. I think he's probably like 4 or 5 off my board after all my ranks are done. So to get him at 7 or something is actually real good value, considering that he is always amongst the RBI leaders. He's going to have a ton of home runs. He's going to have a good average, and there's always more run potential, especially with that lineup around him now. There's Story coming back, and you got Desmond there, and you got Dahl there now. You got a lot of more potential for him to even score more runs, and with the manager giving the green light potentially more often, he could even chip in another stolen base or two.
Yeah. I mean, he's a stud. There's not much more to say than what you've already said. So let's move into the outfield. Already talked a little bit about Charlie Blackmon and Cargo and the potential that one of them could get moved. Does that affect where you're drafting either of these guys?
No. You know, it doesn't – for me, it's not – I'm not really affecting anything based on all of that. I still like all of them. I guess for me, it just depends on really what happens. I think Cargo is going to be the best value that you're going to get out of that entire outfield just because he's going to be able to provide he stays healthy, of course, and doesn't get moved. I still think that he's got the most home run potential, and I still think that he's still good hitter enough to be able to get a good average and everything. Blackmon, we've seen improvements from him, especially against lefties in the last couple of years. It just really depends on what's happening with that roster, as we've discussed. It's so up in the air that we really just have a tough time discussing everything.
Yeah, I mean, that's the scary part is if you've got early drafts, you may want to kind of downgrade them each a tick. You know, not necessarily, you know, take them off your draft boards or drop them around or two. But, you know, for me, like, we had a mock draft earlier, you know, when the season, 2016 season was still going on. And I took Starling Marte over Charlie Blackmon. And Matt asked me why I did that. And I said, because I don't know if Charlie Blackman's on this team in the spring. Mm-hmm. If we start getting to the point where we're at in March and he's still on the team, then I'm going to feel a lot more comfortable, you know, possibly taking him over a guy like Starling Marte. But until I know both of these guys on the team, I'm just going to downgrade them just a tick and probably go a different direction just to be on the safe side because I don't know what their production looks like. I mean, you know, Cargo's got power that plays anywhere. Do I think Charlie Blackmon would completely fall off the map if he wasn't in Colorado? No. I think he would be a very, very good player. But they definitely lose a little bit of production leaving Colorado if that was the case. So I would probably stick away from either of them unless I feel like I'm getting some good value.
Yeah. For Blackmon, do you think that he's going to still, if he does play in Colorado, do you think he's going to be able to duplicate that 29 home run season that he had last year, or is that more closer to like 20 home runs, do you think?
But he's probably closer to 20, but I think maybe the steals, which weren't as impressive as in, you know, previous years, comes back a little bit. So, you know, he'll give a little bit power back and steal a little bit more. Which is probably why you wanted to draft him anyways in 2015 or 2016. So
yeah, I think the leg injuries that he had last year kind of hurt his ability to run. Which I mean, that's you know like an easy out basically for any fantasy owner. Oh, well, he was hurt, so he didn't run as much, but he still was able to generate a lot of leg power to be able to get those home runs. So you know it could go both ways. I guess basically you'd have to, if you were picking between two, you'd have to pick a preference if you want more runs scored or more RBIs, basically.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Cargo's going so much later
than
Blackmon, I think. I mean, I think he offers some pretty nice value. And again, one of those, you know, one of those guys that maybe in fantasy that are, you know, being a little bit downgraded because of his age, you know, because he's a tad bit older at 31. That, you know, maybe guys are forgetting about Cargo, and, you know, he's been healthy for two straight seasons. What more do you want from the guy?
Three straight, maybe?
Yeah, well, hopefully you buy in on him and you get that. But
yeah.
Let's talk about David Dahl real quick, because I think this is a guy that could be very interesting, and depending on what league you're in, could have some pretty varying ADPs. I really like David Dahl. Right now, he's 22nd outfielder off the board, 92nd overall. Is that too high for you or about right?
It's a little bit high. I mean, I love the kid's talent. I mean, 10% of every hit that he had last year went for a home run. So, you know, it's a little tough to say that you don't like him. But I guess we'll really just have to see. Just because, once again, we don't know where he's going to hit in the lineup. He could end up hitting at the bottom of the order, and that kind of kills his value. And you don't want someone who's hitting, like, 7th in the lineup as the top 100 pick. That makes no sense. Even if he does have the upside, I personally think that he'd be a good two hitter for him. Because if he's a two hitter, he's going to score like 100 runs easy, I feel. And he could still hit like 15 to 20 home runs and still get a bunch of stolen bases. So it just depends on where he's being batted in the lineup, basically, for me to associate his value. But I can't pick him as a top 100 until I see where he's hitting and exactly how that roster turns out.
Yeah, I mean, I love David Dahl, but I can't take him in the top 100. Not yet. I mean, it's to me, you have, I mean, he is a special talent, but to me, you have to really blow me away to be a rookie and me taking you in the top 100 like that. And I love him, and he's got a full-time gig. It appears he has a full-time gig kind of locked down. But, I mean, he hasn't struggled yet at the major league level. And so, yeah, you always want to see a guy struggle and see him bounce back before you really, you know, spend the huge price tag. I mean, dynasty formats, I'll pay up a little bit for him because I think he's going to be very, very good for a very long time. But for this year alone, I really do have a hard time spending a top 100 pick on the guy.
Yeah. I have one more question about an outfielder who's not on the starting roster right now. But do you think that Raimel Tapia potentially gets any playing time if this year? Or do you think that he's just basically like someone who's going to sit in the minors? Because right now they have Parez, their fourth outfielder, and they could technically play Desmond. So it doesn't make sense for Tapia to be out. But I think he's got a lot of talent if he does, in fact, play this year too.
I think maybe he gets a September cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's coming up before then. I mean, you know, unless they move two outfielders. I mean, where's he going
to
play?
That's the thing. They'd have to move both Blackman and Cargo for them to do it, and they'd have to play Desmond essentially in center field for them to
I think
they could do that for pitchers, but it seems a lot.
Yeah, I don't think that happens. To me it seems like they've got to move too many pieces in order to make that work. And he still has a lot of holes in his swing.
Yes.
I mean, he is not ready by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah.
I think he's too far away to make an impact in 2017. Like I said, maybe when rosters expand.
Yeah.
But yeah, not before then.
That's the most likely. I mean, I like a lot of their players in the minor league system. I think that they do have a good amount of talent, but they also have other, like, they have a glut of outfielders in the minor leagues that do have good potential that at some point within the next 2 years, people are going to get moved because they still have Jordan Patterson. They have Tapia. You know, they have players that are going to force Blackman to get moved, essentially, if they want to be able to retrieve some value for him. They're not going to let him leave in free agency. Cargo at some point is going to get moved. And they've signed Desmond, so I can't just see them signing him for that long and just expecting him to play first. It's taking all of his athleticism out of the game. So at some point, those pieces are getting moved. So it's just a matter of when it happens.
Well, or you could see Tapia get moved. You know?
You could. It really depends on what you're trading him for. You know, I can't see them getting a starter for him. I could see him getting a bullpen for him, but at that same point, it's like, unless he's not proving a lot for you, I wouldn't be training for a bullpen arm with a talent that I think Tapia has. So
no, I mean, you know, trade Tapia and a couple other pieces. Go get Jose Quintana.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. I'm not sure how much I'd like Quintana in Colorado.
Well, you're not going to like anybody in Colorado. But I mean, you know, one of the guys that I mentioned, I think, with Chuck a while back, that, like, why not trade a piece? You know, I don't think it would take too much considering what's left on his contract. You know, trade some smaller pieces. Go get Irvin Santana.
Yeah.
Tapia could be part of that. Or, you know, because Irvin Santana has got a decent strikeout rate and is a ground ball pitcher. So, you know, I mean, you know, keep the ball out of the air in Colorado. Let the defense play behind you, but you know, let's move on real quick though. Let's talk about.
Sorry,
let's,
I didn't mean to take us totally off track with that. So
let's talk about some of the pitchers, because there, you know, while typically you're not you know, targeting pitchers in Colorado to be on your fantasy team, they do have some interesting names. And starting with John Gray, John Gray is a guy that has proved so far you can be somewhat successful in Colorado. What are your thoughts on him this year?
You know, I had thought John Gray had a better season than what he actually had when you look at his final season numbers, and it's just because it's playing in Colorado. We both know that he is better than the ERA and the WHIP that he's producing, but the problem is as I've said a couple times in this podcast, when you play in Colorado, that BABIP goes up, and that goes against the pitchers, so it hurts John Gray in that capacity. He's probably closer to a 3.3 ERA type pitcher than he is a 4.6, but because he plays in Colorado, that's going to hover around 4 this entire season. That WHIP, with his talent and his strikeout potential, he's like a 1.11 type WHIP player, but it's going to be around 1.2 because of him playing in Colorado. He's able to get a ton of strikeouts. He's going to get wins because I think this team's going to improve, and he's going to be able to get quality starts. It just really depends on if he's able to, when he pitches to contact, if he's able to keep the ball low in the strike zone so that he's able to generate a little bit more in terms of ground balls that will help that with that defense around there, with Story and with Desmond there. Hopefully that will improve their infield defense as opposed to Del Scalzo and Reynolds, where they finished off the season last year. So we'll see what happens. But I like John Gray a lot.
Yeah, I like John Gray a lot too. I mean, his FIP and ex-FIP about a full run off of his ERA. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of room for improvement. But like you said, it is Colorado. There are going to be blow-up outings. You do the best you can with him. But you don't have to pay a huge price. He's going pretty late in drafts. And so, I mean, he's a guy to me that I think offers such great strikeout upside, such great potential and pedigree as a from his prospect days. If he can walk a few less guys and really limit the damage, I think he is a guy that could be in for a huge breakout and be one of the first pitchers in Colorado since Ubaldo Jimenez was actually good. To really offer some fantasy value from the pitching position in Colorado. And like you said, he's going to have a good offense behind him. He's going to have the potential for wins, should rack up some decent quality starts. I think big things could be in for John Gray this season.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big thing that you touched on is he's got to get those walks down. He had as many walks as Chad Bettis did. Chad Bettis did it in like 20 more innings. Like he had the same amount in 20 more innings. So like he's got to cut down those walks. That's the biggest thing. I know he's trying to avoid contact because it is in Coors, but as he progresses as a pitcher and he gets more pinpoint accuracy with his pitches, being able to paint the corners, as a strikeout pitcher, he's going to get more calls. And as he fine-tunes everything, he's going to be able to get those walks down, which gets that WHIP down, which in turn gets that ERA down closer to what that FIP is. So I do see a lot of improvement coming from him. It really just depends on how he's able to keep progressing in Coors Field itself. But we saw a lot of strides from him, considering we haven't seen many in the last 10 or so years from a Coors pitcher.
Yeah, are there any other guys in their rotation that you're interested in?
Not overly. I mean, there's players like Tyler Anderson. He could have some value. You saw that he had some decent numbers last year. He had a bunch of games in which he was on the road in which he had some good numbers. It really just depends on how he progresses in yet another season, because he is kind of young. Tyler Chatwood could have a good season, but he's not a strikeout guy, so it takes a lot of value away. The person who I guess could have a big season that could end up in the rotation is like a Jeff Hoffman, just because I do know that he has strikeout potential. If Hoffman does get the potential and hit that potential of striking guys out, he may be able to make improvements like John Gray has. And John Gray, having made improvements, has the ability to show other pitchers on that staff certain things that he's able to do, or that they're able to do, to make improvements in Coors as well.
Yeah. I'm not interested in any other pitcher other than John Gray for this season. I like Hoffman and, as a guy that could surprise long term, but for 2017, I have no interest in any other Colorado starting pitcher other than Gray.
Yeah, I remember when people liked Eddie Butler. That went away. That went away real quick.
Yeah, unfortunately for him.
I do like the bullpen, though.
Yeah, I like the bullpen as well. Ottavino is a guy that I think he has shown he can pitch fairly well in Colorado. He is a top tier closer. At least top 10, top 15. So what are your thoughts on Ottavino?
I think he's a good pitcher. He's a real good K guy, and that's what you kind of look for with closers, especially one that's going to pitch in Coors. He's still, I mean, he pitched in 27 innings, which isn't a lot, but he had less than, he had a sub one whip, which is impressive considering that he was coming back from his injuries. I do think that he's going to be able to get some more saves because I think there's going to be some closer games that they're actually winning this year as opposed to losing. I do think that that defense has improved with bringing Desmond back and Story being healthy. So I can see him getting more saves. I'm obviously a little worried about a potential inflated ERA more than an inflated whip because he doesn't really walk a lot of people. I think that he'll be able to keep that down. So we'll see what happens with him.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap us up. Ben, why don't you tell people what you're working on and where people can reach you on social media?
I can be reached at bbrandsfwfb on Twitter. I am currently working on some baseball ranks still. I'm going to be hosting our Tuesday show with Chuck and Evan Peterson, or I should say Chuck Anderson, Evan Peterson. And I am the host of our Friends with Fantasy Benefits basketball podcast that I host with Eric Mackey. So give us a listen over there as well.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason, FWFB. Email me at the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. Please give us a rate and review on iTunes. Really helps us out. Check out all the stuff we have going on, friendsoffantasybenefits.com, including articles and ranks of all the draft prep stuff you need for your upcoming season. That will wrap us up for Ben and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.